Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this Friday on the front porch, the first Friday of the new year. It is the 6th day of January, 2023. Happy, happy, happy birthday to my dear sister, Terry Ellen, down in Alabama. You're only a few weeks ahead of me, and then we'll both be 60-year-olds. 60-year-old little old ladies, and right. But happy birthday. Happy birthday, sis. Hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is where you're listening and when you're listening to the podcast. And thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Thanks to everyone who does, and thanks to, for listening live. Thanks for listening on whatever stream you listen on. Thank you. Even if you're listening on TuneIn with all those annoying, obnoxious ExxonMobil ads and whatnot. Yeah, thank you. Please like and subscribe and leave a comment wherever you're listening, because that just makes a Brother Deacon's heart all happy. Right, Brother Deacon Asa? Right, right. So it is the 6th day of January. It's Friday on the front porch here in about 50 minutes or so. We will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table, around which we gather our happy few, every Friday to cuss and discuss the issues of the day. You're mightily welcome to participate. New voices are always welcome on Friday on the front porch, and it'd be great to hear from folks maybe we've never heard from before. Love to have some ladies' voices in the conversation as well. I really, really would. It's a little lonesome being the only girl. So come on by if you feel like you might enjoy that. Sorry about the late start, really. Remember, even if I'm a few minutes late, I'll be there. You know why? Because I'm behind the mic more often in any given broadcast year than anybody else doing this kind of work, for the most part, as far as I can tell. I don't take days off. Recall, didn't take Christmas Day off. That was a Sunday. Didn't take New Year's Day off. Didn't even take the day off when the Monday was an official holiday. I am always going to be here. I was late this evening. I freely confess it. Guilty, 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 guilty. And part of the reason that I was late is Annette was helping me make the fabulous Horn Lowe's broadcast bucket. Never thought I'd be saying that. A little less miserable to sit on. So, yes, for this Friday on the front porch, on the first Friday of 2023, I am again broadcasting from high atop a Lowe's 5-gallon bucket turned upside down with a pillow and a blanket and I think a rolled-up bathrobe under it. Ha, yeah. I'm going to try to get something in the way of a chair in here. Found one. Brother Deacon Asa really did help me. We talked a little bit about proportions and measurements, and I think I found something that's going to work and work nicely. So, yeah, as soon as all the bills are paid, I'll do that. And speaking of paying the bills, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. And so we say thank you to our sixth day of the month subscribers. That means thank you so much to our buddy of longstanding, Don in West Tennistan. Hey, Don. And thank you to John. Thank you, John. Thank you to Michael in Madison, who's been having fun with the Republican malarkey over on the Zucker book. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you so much, Charlene. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. If you'd like to jump in with the fine folks who are the sixth day of the month subscribers, feel free. Lord knows, we've lost more subscribers than we picked up in the last year or so. But thank you. Thank you for being there. You're the reason this program exists alongside the a la carte contributors and the Patreon contributors. Thank you. And thanks to Ralphs. Ralphs has been playing the... how many Republicans will vote against Kevin McCarthy game again today. This is more fun than Plinko on The Price is Right. Twice today, Ralphs has jumped in with $6 and then $7. So that gets our fundraising goal down to, $493 to finish the first week of January 2023. Oh, I know, Matt. Matt says, subject line, fundraising. Girl, you are not going to make your first million selling horn buckets. You really are bad at this fundraising stuff. Here's $25. Thank you. Maybe if I get some drumsticks and get another bucket and turn it upside down and drum on it. I hear that works in the... In the busking world. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. Wait, bucket pudding. No, that hustle's been taken. Jim Baker's got that one locked down. Damn it. And yes, Theo earlier today made reference to my bucket seat. Billable Rick says, your bucket chair... Do you ever get earthquakes in West Virginia? If so, you better hold on tightly because your Lowe's bucket pudding chair is liable to topple over. I'm not moving much at all because I could very easily slide off the top of this thing, earthquake or no. We're pretty quake free, but I don't particularly want to risk it. Oh, the one I found is okay. It's pink, but it looks pretty ergonomically comfortable. It's got a lumbar support. It's got a back of the leg support on it. It'll be the best chair that we've ever had in here, so as soon as the power company, the water company, the finance company, the insurance, as soon as everybody's happy, maybe I won't be broadcasting live from a chair, but thank you. Thank you, Matt. We are. That means we are down to $478. Thank you. Bucket, asks Steve in New York. How about this? Buckets O'Horn Nutraceutical. No. Hold back. No. I got it. Buckets O'Sex Clams. Yes, a great big bucket of Horn Alabama sex clams. That'd be bound to go over with the paleo chocolate chicken bone nutritional beverage crowd, wouldn't it? For male stamina, and female irresistibility and non-binary potency. Gotta get it. You can't just limit yourself when you're selling Alabama sex clams in a sure. Hopefully someone is giggling. Steve in New York says, breaking news, George Santos has just announced that it is his face. Oh, we're off to a good start. George Santos has just announced that it is his face on the Shroud of Turin. Yes. Meanwhile, George Santos has just announced that it is his eye atop the pyramid on the back of the $1 bill. Well, this is going to turn out to be quite the expensive bucket, Billable. Billable Rick says, you can add some jade eggs to your Alabama sex clams package. Probably get sued by Gwyneth Paltrow. But, you know, listen, the bucket hustle, I don't think Jim Baker could sue me. No. Keebler Elves, Lee in New York wants to know, is Ernie still their speaker? Are they having ballot issues, too? Well, there was an election in Keebler Elfland, you see, and the self-hating elf party got the majority by a very slim margin. And so, yes, Lee, they've been having troubles electing a speaker. Epaminondas McCarthy is coming up on his 14th ballot this evening, just like Kevers is. Let me look here. Ralph said, I'll bet $25 that the Republicans will wait until after 10 p.m. tonight to make Kevin McCarthy Speaker of the House. So if they elect Kevin tonight, I'll contribute $25, and maybe others will do something similar. Okay, so thank you, Ralph. That sounds, at least we'll have something to celebrate. And since Steve in New York mentioned George Santos. Well, I also got a note from Lady B earlier today, and I found this quite interesting. And really? Okay, that's a thing. Lady B asking, who is this motherfucker, and why is he able to pull the wool over so many people's eyes? Newly elected freshman Representative George Santos, or Brazil, or New York, or Belgium, or the Keebler Elf Forest, makes white power gesture as he casts his vote for House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy. Wow. How weird. There's a photo. With one hand up, let's see, that would be his right hand up and his left hand below, down at the elbow, giving the white power salute sign, hand gesture, whatever. Oh, Lady B, he is a piece of shit. And he's not going to be run off. Once he gets sworn in, let's understand the depth of what happens once one is a member of the House of Representatives. Barring the fact that these maggots say that they want to have a term limits vote in the House, even though I can't help thinking it would require a constitutional amendment, I just feel really solid about that. Once he's sworn in, there's no way to get him out of Congress unless he is defeated in another election in 2 years' time. Even if he's referred to the Office of Congressional Ethics, which, by the way, Kevers Man of Silly Putty McCarthy has already sworn on his mom, on George Santos's 9/11 dead mama's grave, that he's going to dismantle. Can't nothing be. They'd have to recommend his expulsion, and then he would have to be voted out by like a 2/3 majority, according to the Constitution. Unless he chose to resign. By the way, Lady B noting, George Santos says Kevin McCarthy was with him when Brandon, the dreamy quarterback at Rydell High, asked him to go to the prom with him.
Okay. You go to the prom with me.
Which one would be the prom queen? Sorry, that was bitchy. But this note from Lady B on a topic suitable for a Friday on the front porch begins with a cartoon. What did I miss? And it deals with the concept of white privilege. Minorities, but especially liberal whites, love to throw around the term white privilege. I have. Which is funny because being white and speaking about other whites having privilege is a privilege in itself. Like the cartoon says, it's not that white people themselves didn't or still don't have tremendous obstacles to overcome. It's just that they don't also have the hurdle of being a minority while trying to overcome them. For example, you and I may find ourselves in a bad situation where angry people throw rocks at us. We'll both be called out for our by our names. Me most likely the N-word, you most likely the derogatory name for a transgender person. Both our lives may even be in danger. Unfortunately, speaking of lives in danger, wait till I tell you about what's going on in Oklahoma, Stan. Unfortunately, you more so than me at this point, but that's what makes you unique. Before you were your true self, you would have never heard a derogatory name nor even felt threatened. Actually, I used to get called tree hugger a lot. At least not on a day-to-day basis, and certainly not for just being white. Hell, you admitted to doing something as fairly innocuous as driving around with expired tags for a year. I'd never do that. But you were able to do so without a second thought because you've never had to live with the fear of being pulled over, harassed, possibly arrested, or even being killed, even if you didn't do anything. My point is, the privilege label was and is more than just about skin color and gender. It's also about the status you enjoy. You don't have to think about being white unless someone reminds you of it. With us blacks, it's literally the face we present to the public every day and for the rest of our lives. People will judge us even before we open our mouths. And it's because of that we'll always be treated differently. Let's use the term hillbilly, for example. A hillbilly is such by birth and circumstance. Should they be able to escape those circumstances, get an education and a good job, then they're seen as a white person who has made something of themselves. Oh dear. I guess, in a sense, that could be seen as a cultural burden, but it's not the worst thing. No one will ever follow you around Trader Joe's, and you can always continue to be a hillbilly at heart. You could even make millions joking about it. Look at the comedians Jeff Foxworthy or Larry the Cable Guy. Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy. Hillbilly. From, like, Nebraska or Florida or something. I get finicky about the word hillbilly. If you're not from the hills, you're not a hillbilly. On the other hand, folks like me can move up the ranks, but at the end of the day, I'll be seen as a black person who made something of themselves. Even if I do very, very well for myself, such as Oprah Winfrey or Barack Obama, then I will still be seen as the black woman who has done very, very well for herself. At Obama and Oprah's level, who cares? They both made history, but they will never truly be remembered without that qualifier. As an aside, that's what bothers Clarence Thomas the most. He wears that label with self-loathing instead of accepting the historical honor with pride. If I was him, I'd be wiping my tears away with $100 bills and enjoying every minute of my special privilege. And so it goes, darling. It's a privilege for white folks to say and recognize they have privilege. It's also a privilege to never have to use a disclaimer. Like it or not, you've joined the minority, Robin. I wish you well. Yeah, I have. And I found out kind of pretty quickly that I had. It was in a previous life. It was never much of a challenge. There were never any challenges. I could go anywhere I wanted, do anything I wanted, walk down streets at night if I wanted. And frankly, I was big enough and masculine enough that nobody ever squared up with me wanting to fight me. That last part in particular is no longer the case. My mere existence can make some men want to do me violence just for being alive. And by the way, Brother Deacon Asa, who forgets nothing, says, may I take a moment to push back a little bit? You were, in fact, called an in-lover for having Obama lawn signs even before you were true self. Also, I'd argue that you were your true self even before the surgery. The surgery, from what I understand, didn't change who you are. No, I became my true self long about September 15th, 2020. That was the day that I took my first dose of estrogen. And then October 11th, I came out across the river at Maggie's on National Day of Coming Out. And from that day forward, I lived and dressed my authentic self. And then, well, the surgery. Biggest thing the surgery did was take away gender dysphoria. And it's hard to explain gender dysphoria, except to say that it's like having your own essential being screaming at you at the top of its lungs every day of your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, 365 days a year, 10 years to the decade. And it gets really, really maddening. And about 2 days after surgery, when I looked up and went, hey, it's all quiet in here. I'm like, yeah, it is. I ran him off. Well, thank you. That's what that was like. Some people say it's like a stone in your shoe. In my case, because I actually have the condition, it's like tinnitus. Anybody who has tinnitus knows what it's like to just have this constant, like, 5 kilohertz tone ringing in your head. You hear it going to sleep. You hear it waking up. You hear it out throughout the day. If you're sitting in the perfect quiet of the forest, you're going to hear, and that's what gender dysphoria is like. And after a while, it'll begin to make you a little bit, but point well taken, Brother Deacon. And so, anyway, like I said earlier, thanks to Ralphs and thanks to Matt, we're down to $478 to go to finish the month, or finish the week, rather, the first week of January. As to term limits, Steve in New York points to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualifications requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the state legislature. So it says they'll be... So, is that the be-all and end-all of the nature of the inquiry, though, Steve? We had to amend the Constitution in order to change how senators are elected. We had to amend the Constitution to limit the presidency to 2 terms. I'm curious. Because, of course, they're not, you know, these people who want these term limits, naturally, they don't want them for them. These vandals want term limits because term limits are anti-democratic, and Republicans, by and large, are anti-democratic. And there's nothing more anti-democratic than taking away the right of someone to vote for someone they want in office, to make it illegal for that person to be a member of the Congress. And what it does is it guts the institutional wisdom of the body. Let's say you've got a really highly effective member of Congress who might be, well, she might be in her 80s, but you pass term limits and she's just done at the end of the next term because some Republican decided that they were sick and tired of seeing her voice or seeing her face and hearing her voice. I don't know. I find it troubling because again, they're not doing it. Well, they might be doing it to get rid of. For the sake of never kevers. That's certainly worth discussing when we come around to the to join together in the old holler tree. Let's see. Randy Radar, I will pass that along to Tracy. Thank you. Santos swearing in, Lee in New York. What does that mean to him? Trump already showed that an oath taken by an oaf means nothing. Besides, the Speaker of the House already swore Santos in. Huh? No, none of them have been sworn in. Unless I missed something between like 4 o'clock and now. We're still going to have another speaker vote. There is still no House of Representatives. The House of Representatives still has no members. Maybe George is saying that. And just because it's Friday on the front porch and, well, we've been talking about the congressional circus all week long, and I confess I'm a little wearied of it, but I gotta admit I found it comically delicious. When I saw the clip earlier today of Matt, It Just Gets Worse, appearing on Frau Ingram's program. Yeah. He said, I hate it when you tease me with the potential of a good time. Matt, It Just Gets Worse, the guy who sent money over Venmo to pay an underage girl for sex. He announced to Frau Ingram that he would resign from Congress, by God. Matt Gaetz, the human forehead. That's all he is a forehead. Okay. Bill O'Rick clearing things up. George Santos. You missed the point of Lee's email. In the world of George Santos, he was sworn in by the speaker, and two, there's a speaker. Oh, that subtle humor will run past me every time. After all, I'm just a girl. Thank you, Bilbo. Matt Gaetz said he would resign from Congress if Democratic Party members changed tack and elected a moderate Republican for Speaker. Wouldn't they have to find a moderate Republican first? See, the devil's always in the details. He went on to say that he was certain that Democrats in the House wouldn't break ranks and vote for, you know, a unicorn, a non-existent creature, a moderate Republican. Let's be clear, there are no moderate Republicans. Just like there are no liberal Republicans. I don't know that there are any centrist Republicans. But, of course, Frau Ingram, whose entire franchise is predicated upon scaring the living bejesus out of Emery and Marvelline, sitting in their matching Barca loungers down in their single wide in the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club and Trailer Court, said, asked him, "Well, what if Democratic reps break ranks?" I mean, there may be a scenario where the Democratic Party could help elect Kevers or some other Republican so that both parties share power on the committees. And that's when he said, well...
Able to get these rules
are you
going to
be okay, Congressman? Will you be okay then if there's ultimately a deal struck? Moderate Democrats that give Democrats kind of co-control of the committees, you're fine with that?
No, absolutely not. That will not happen. There are two potential scenarios here. No, listen, I'm on the floor, Laura. These 212 Democrats are going to vote for Hakeem Jeffries every single time. He is a historic candidate for them. They are not going to cleave off under any circumstance. I assure you that if Democrats join up to elect a moderate Republican, I will resign from the House of Representatives. That is how certain I am. I can assure your viewers that won't happen.
Frau Ingram's kind of stupid, isn't she? Then again, it doesn't take a lot of intellect to be a talking head over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. On the other hand, speaking of Frau Ingram, This was a fun moment. Darn it. It's always so... A bit of an update, and I've got a note here to share with you from our pal Joy. Frau Ingram... a couple of days ago, decided to tackle the issue of the heart attack, the injury to DeMar Hamlin, and she had a guy on who wanted to talk about violence. Hold on, what's going on here? Stand by. Brother Deacon, did you... Hold on. Got a wiring issue. Brother Deacon, did you mean to ring in? Oh, Brother Deacon. Brother Deacon Asa. Huh. That's what I thought. I thought that may have been an accidental button push. Oh, well. Butt dial. Sorry about that. Okay, no worries. So, anyway, back to Frau Ingram. Anyway, she invited a guest on to talk about injuries and how dangerous football is. And you know, she can't, she cannot be challenged. Thou shalt not challenge Frau Ingram. She brought on an activist and author by the name of Steve Almond. He was the author of a book called Against Football, One Fan's Reluctant Manifesto. And in the book, he talks about why he no longer watches football. He notes the violence, the racism, and the growing evidence of brain injuries that affect players. And so, somebody who is probably no longer working for Fox booked Steve Almond. It did not go well for Frau Ingram.
They have enormous amount of influence. What happened during George Floyd? They had enormous amount of influence on corporate America, the actions of corporate America, the actions of the NFL. I mean, they changed the whole corporate approach to race and equity and all the things that happened 2.5 years ago. So you say the players don't have all that much influence. I would say the players have an enormous amount of influence, maybe not as much as they want, but there's huge economic upside for everyone here, correct?
Well, I know you're focused on the players. I'm focused on the fans. And what I essentially believe is not that any government ban is going to make football safer, and certainly not some mythic woke mob that you mentioned to try to scare your viewers. I think it's going to happen.
I'm not trying to scare the viewers. Football is not about politics. It's not about politics. You're making it about
politics. Oh, I think that's your entire economic model.
What?
Your entire economic model is to
what
scare
other
your
sport
viewers.
Should,
that's
what
your
other
whole
sport?
Gig.
I mean, Steve, you
and
really
the only
want
way
you really
that
want
you change
football
your
to be
behavior,
banned. Yeah, you want football to be
no,
banned.
No, I
mean,
don't.
You,
this
you
is what you
this
do.
You play this game. Oh, come on. You want football essentially changed.
Lord, she couldn't stand it, could she? That's your economic model. That's to scare your viewers. That's your whole gig. And of course, he's right. He's absolutely right. She's sitting there in New York, and her only purpose on earth is to keep Emery and Marvelline scared half out of their wits that the Negroes are coming after us, or the Mexicans, or the transgenders, or the queers. I mean, the trans and the queers, we kind of run together in the same gang, but you get the idea. That's all Fox is. It's not just Frau Ingram. It's the entirety of the freaking network. And it didn't go over too well with her when some truth-telling went down. Back to Matt, it just gets worse. Good Matt in San Francisco. Matt, by the way, if you wouldn't mind, I keep reading these stories about the hellacious weather striking the Bay Area and the winds. Could you give us just a little bit of an update? I mean, I see this kind of stuff and I worry. Matt's resignation, Matt points out, always threatening us with a good time. Yeah. The fact that he proved to be right about it is that, you know, he could have equally said, you know, if the Democrats cross the aisle, I'll eat my hat. And, you know, when he did say, well, you know, this is a historic nomination for them. I'm surprised he didn't use the word urban to describe Hakeem Jeffries. Please thank Billable, says Lee in New York. He got my joke. I was hoping the Santos lies would have made the joke clearer. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just a little slow on the uptake, but Billable appreciated you, and I do too, Lee. Christopher in Oregon. There's no such thing as Santos. Ha. I remember as a kid leaving out milk and cookies, trying to stay awake to sneak a peek in the morning, rushing downstairs to find my presents from... Oh, wait, that's Santa? No wonder I got them confused. They're both just a lifetime worth of make-believe bullshit. Off to the casino with Dad. Have a great front porch. Oh, I hope you break the house. Absolutely. Christopher, you guys have a great evening, you and your dad. That'd be fun. Father-son trip to the casino. Yeah. Oh, and speaking of Matt, it just gets worse. It should be noted that earlier today, when Gates was giving his Wade Mecum in the name of Jim Jacket Off Jordan. Well, it turned some members of the House of Representatives just got up and walked the hell out on him, one of them declaring, "I'm in Speaker's lobby," and some members are cursing out Gates as they leave the floor. That was Robert Costa reporting. "I'm not listening to this shit," one House Republican says, others fuming and going outside to the balcony to cool off. Yeah. And, but, you know, that's the thing, though. He knows. Why is this thing rocking the way it is? Oh well. I fear I'm sliding away. It's a win-win situation for Matt Gaetz. When McCarthy is finally Speaker, he can say, he can go back to the rubes in Pensacola and say, "I fought the good fight. I tried my very best to have a real patriotic American Speaker of the House, but, you know, the swamp got me, and the deep state." Because you got to remember, and this is one of the things that disturbs me, okay? His district encompasses the Pensacola Naval Air Station. Yeah. Highway to the danger zone and all of that shit. You know, lots and lots and lots of Navy there. And he manages to keep getting reelected. What do all those people think he's doing for them? Yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 or more people walking out on Matt. It just gets worse. Makes me worried a little bit about the United States Navy, though, that the home of Pensacola Naval Air Station would elect that skeevy freak. Oh, well. But that's, you know, that's not all. We got lots of stuff. Billable Rick says, "Chris's casino trip. Please tell Christopher that George Santos visited that same casino last week and that he indeed broke the house. Santos also received a unicorn as part of his winnings." I can tell what kind of an evening this is going to be. And frankly, I'm kind of happy about it. Randy Radar says, "I had an ISP repairman out here who said that he used to be consumed by football and gave it all up and found that he had all sorts of spare time now to play with his children." That's a lovely idea. And I had a note because Steve from Georgistan said, "Kevers will be the speaker by the end of the day. Currently, the Rathugs are probably getting Matt the forehead drunk." Matt the forehead drunk. Wonder on what, Steve? They'll proceed to buy him some blow and a hooker or two. Well, maybe they'll just holler for representing Anna having Nagila to... Never mind. By 10 p.m., he and his ilk vote any way they will want him to. Yeah. Matt. Gatesy, look who's here. It's Anna having Nagila. You like some witchy, sexy time, don't you, Maddie? Huh? Huh? Sure.
Maybe have I Put a Spell on You playing in the background. Oh, that could be a lot. Yeah, that could be fun. But there's more than just Washington news. Yes. From the Department of, gosh, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. Well, Sherman set the Wayback Machine for Maddie Cawthorn. Remember Madison Maddie Cawthorn, the advocate for masculinity? Remember him? And remember how he said on that one podcast that he had been to parties where he was invited to participate in naked orgies and do a bunch of blow? And we all kind of wondered who that might be. Remember that? You remember Maddie? He had the picture on the they took of him on the cruise ship with a pretty little black lace bra. Still can't find where that came from. Never mind. I'll just wait. One of the movers and shakers inside Republican politics is, of course, Matt Schlapp. Schlappy. And we wonder why I changed Fappy Thomas to Fappy Thomas from Slappy Thomas. Well, it's because we've got Matt Schlapp. Schlappy Matt. One of the most powerful of the Republican operatives out there. Big time maggot. He's married to Mercedes Schlapp. And he chairs something called the American Conservative Union. They put on CPAC every year. And now, according to a former staffer for the Hershey Walker, Texas Strangler campaign, a few weeks before the senatorial election in Georgia, Matt Schlapp and some of the Hershey Walker staffers, they went out to several Atlanta bars a few weeks before the election. Mister, we were just going to a bar. I know the names of several Atlanta bars. Let's see, there's the Cheetah 3 and the Gold Club. Yeah. Those would be bars that have naked ladies in them. And, one of the Hershey Walker staffers said that he was tasked with driving Matt Schlapp home. And on the way back to the hotel, Matt Schlapp,
definitely heterosexual conservative man of conservatism.
Well, Matt Schlapp groped and fondled his crotch. And then when they got to the hotel, Schlapp said, "Hey, you want to come up to my room? And I can get a drink. And we can talk about conservative family values." Well, the young man said it was scarring and humiliating for him. And then he recorded a bunch of videos where he actually documented how he felt about it. And he told two friends at the same time what had happened. And then he told the Daily Beast. He said he felt nothing but support from the Hershey Walker campaign, who actually put him in touch with some lawyers. Somebody from the former Walker campaign said, yeah, it's what he told us. And then the staffer also provided some text messages and call logs. The call logs were to Schlapp, and Schlapp to him. And he said that what you did last night made me feel uncomfortable. And Schlapp didn't ask him what made him uncomfortable, but said, well, why don't you give me a call? Meanwhile, Matt Schlapp, of course, has a standing pettifogger who said,
this is just an attack. Mr. Schlapp denies any improper behavior.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Remember, Matt Schlapp was critical to the defense of Brett Kavanaugh, who was famous for his predilection for boofing back in his wild and zany teenage years. Schlapp also attacked President Biden, saying,
with five daughters, I'd prefer Biden to be several doors down, not next door.
Because he's a creep. Yeah, I wouldn't worry. Matt Schlapp has five daughters. Not worried about them. Glad he doesn't have any little boys. Gross. By the way, Schlapp also you know the drill. But yeah, he's a skeeve and a sleaze, and he'll probably get away with it because there will be no criminal charges filed. Of course not. There will just be a nice little, maybe not so little, check written. Maybe for tuition assistance. Along with a non-disclosure note and a save and hold harmless clause, right? Yeah, sounds lovely. So here we are at the top of the hour. I was a few minutes late, but that's it for the Phil Robster. Let's go ahead and connect to the old holler tree and see how that plays out. What's going on in the conversation this evening? This won't take but a sec. Hopefully I've got enough charge on the iPad. Hey, Sparky, how are you this evening?
Hang on 1 minute.
Okay, you're good.
All right. I didn't kill the feed. Coming through from the head on that line. Am I here now?
Been here all along.
Okay. I'm just waiting for another rain event.
Have you been getting hammered?
Once in a while, but it's rained every day for some part of the day since Christmas. This atmospheric river thing is for real.
Well, you needed it, right?
Yeah, but I got...
But you don't need it all at once.
No, we don't need it all at once, but I got two giant trucks as yard ornaments that have been parked there since before Christmas.
Can't drill in the rain?
Well, they did. haven't showed up. So when they show up, they'll show up. At least I know sooner or later I'm going to get a well.
Well, you've got their truck. Unless they come in and sneak off in the night.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Because they had a hard enough time getting them in there. I don't think they want to take them out at night. I had to take out a rose bush and a little tree.
Aw. What kind of tree?
An ornamental cherry is what my mom said it was.
Oh, so it had been there for a while.
Oh, yeah. See where? The rose bush and the tree were planted. It used to be an above ground pool. And there's an outline in concrete of where that pool was. And so inside of that outline is what we call the memorial garden. And there's a memorial in there to my mom and dad.
Oh, that's nice.
Plus, some of their ashes are buried in there.
So, anything, I mean, just sitting around waiting for the drilling crew to show up? Has that been pretty much? And I guess it's so cloudy, you can't see Lassen or anything, can you?
No, not. I haven't seen it in a while.
But I presume from all of this rain, you're going to have a great snowpack on Shasta and Lassen, right?
Oh, excellent. All over the Sierras. This is like a once in every 10-year event or so.
So is this an El Nino? I mean, or is this part of an El Nino phenomenon or what?
It seems like it. It's like just like the one in 97.
Because this was, we've just been soaked all year, and this was a La Nina year for us on this side.
Yeah. I don't know how many years of drought we've had now. I just got a thing in the mail from my county's Groundwater Sustainability Agency with the questionnaire they want me to fill out because I'm a well user. I don't know what's going on, but I just looked at it and said, I'm not going to fill this out for a while. They didn't even send a return envelope.
Cheap bastards.
You want me to fill out a survey, send me an envelope.
Well, I just had
no phone number.
I just had to recombobulate the bucket and about busted my little ass.
Why are you sitting on a bucket?
Because the old broadcast chair broke.
What was it?
Oh, you know, typical computer desk chair, leather. Most of the leather was gone. You know, 360-degree rotation and, raise and lowering.
Yeah, I just fixed one of my chairs, the new cylinder.
No, this one just... Ferg was back here working, and it just sheared completely away, and he wound up, on his side in the floor.
I've had a chair like that break the floor. I wish I could send you one of my old office chairs that I have kicking around here.
Well, I found a pretty good deal on one at Amazon. And, you know, I might have been able to, I could theoretically just go and buy some piece of crap at Walmart or Staples, but I can't get the damn thing in my car.
Yeah, I've had mine delivered. The one I'm sitting in now, I got from Amazon. It's an extra wide. I paid like $270 for it.
Well, I found this one, and it'll do fine. It's like, it's what they call a gaming chair, but it's $170, and it looks comfortable. So if we can finish out fundraising, maybe I can order that this evening and not broadcast from atop a bucket. Because I got to tell you, this is not fun. I haven't been this uncomfortable broadcasting since like 2 weeks after surgery.
I know it's not fun.
What?
Because I've got one. I know it's not fun.
No.
Because I've set a Homer bucket before. You know what a Homer bucket is, don't you?
Yeah.
From Home Depot.
Right. Well, Annette actually went and found one of my donuts from back right when I was, you know, recently post-op, and that at least helps a little bit.
One of them inflatable ones?
No, this is memory foam. So it'll take a pretty good beating. Oh, and I had a note from Randy Radar about ornamental cherry tree. The ornamental cherry tree sap attracts hordes of ants, but now it won't, will it? Because it's not there.
No, just stump in the ground and cut it off ground level. And one of the tires, the opposite side of the truck from the driver, back dually tires on the pipe truck are sitting right on top of where the tree was.
As to your memorial garden, Billable says, Sparky showed me his folks' memorial garden. I hope that the removal of the tree and rosebush didn't alter the garden too much. Well, that's mighty kind of you, Billable. You're a good guy.
No, but the truck destroyed part of the concrete ring, broke it, and drove over.
Ah. Oh, and
thank you, can be fixed.
Good. Oh, and going back to the Matt Schlapp story, Christopher asked, got the Schlapp? Is there a vaccine available for the Schlapp, or do I need to get an ointment down at the local pharmacy? No, about a million units of penicillin usually clears up a pretty bad case of the Schlapp. Got the Schlapp. Maybe he should get together and hang out with Chip Roy from Gonorrhea Gulch down in Texas. Billable Rick said, Matt Schlapp, when you're with Matt Schlapp, is it a trick to avoid getting schlappy on you? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nobody talks about gonorrhea or the clap anymore.
Well, but it's still out there, and, you know,
it's STDs.
Well, now they're called STIs. We went from calling them diseases to infections. Sexually transmitted infection.
I have to ask my minion about that.
Back when I was in the service, enlisted people got the clap, and officers got nonspecific urethritis.
Non-gonococcal urethritis.
I got it once in Okinawa.
One of my roommates in college got it. I had the vehicle, so I took him to student health, and he came back and said, that really hurt. And so in the fraternity house, wherever he went, we all, you know, clap. Yeah. So, Roger, hey, how are you?
Doing fine, just sitting around. It's rainy and cold. Anyhow, it's just the drab days of winter.
Aren't they just, you know, yeah, and you know what? You're, the Great Northwest is a tropical rainforest. So is where I live. And drab is exactly the word. Gray. Blech. Just kind of.
That's what makes it so green in the summer, in the spring and summer. So.
Well, April, you know, showers bring May flowers.
Bad. Yeah. Anyhow, getting on this nomination speeches I've been listening to for the last 3 days, one of the ones today approached it but didn't get there. I want to know why the nomination speeches that they say about how the Democrats can do the job and Republicans can't even find a speaker, and therefore I nominate Hakeem Jeffries again, again, again. On this day in particular, why didn't they point out that there were 134 members of that dastardly party on the other side of the aisle that voted to destroy our democracy 2 years ago, or however many of them are still left there, and that any vote for any candidate from that stupid party that has attempted to destroy our government, why should this body even think about nominating somebody from that party of that class that voted to destroy our democracy?
I would have liked a little bit more fire and brimstone, too. But apparently they got howlingly mad at the January 6th commemoration that was led by Hakeem Jeffries earlier this morning. Oh, they were pissed.
Well, they should get pissed.
They should get tossed out on the street.
Get pissed and let the decent people in their districts, because there are still a few of them there, see what corrupt assholes they really are. The next one I'm waiting for is when Nancy Pelosi sent over 450 bills to the Senate. When the Senate was under Mitch McConnell's dictatorial rule, they just died. And the Republicans said, well, that's the way democracy works. Oh, tough shit. Fuck you. I just hope that Chuck Schumer does the exact same thing. And when the Republicans start screaming bloody murder, that the Senate won't even take up any of their bills, Chuck Schumer just looks back at him and says, hey, if you sent me something decent, I'd bring it to the floor. But what you're sending me is absolute garbage and is destroying this country, and I won't even bring it up. Fuck you. Does Schumer have the balls to do that?
No. No, no. I don't think so. And I think
that's unfortunate.
They're making a value judgment between how much value there is in raising a stink that can't come to anything versus using their power further into the Congress. I tell you what, if you want to see, speaking of treason, you want to see a hilarious photo. There is a picture of Matt, it just gets worse, leaning over and white-splaining at Ilhan Omar. And the look on her face is for the ages.
Well, Omar's not going to take any shit from Matt Gaetz.
One person looking at the photo on Twitter said, a picture's worth 1,000 words. She looks like she just smelled a fart. You take your little victories where you get them. I just saw Steve enter the Steve.
Over, it must
not take very
much because he's a pretty short guy in stature anyway. Steve's not in the room.
Yeah. Oh. Looked like he was. Here you are, Steve. Happy New Year.
He's now.
Let me get my headset up. George, I sound like I'm in a cave now.
No, you're okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. Somebody says I'm in the room. You're a guest. I'm in the room, or am I? Who be that? Oh my goodness, it's Parson Brown. Unmute your mic, Parson.
What, so, am I in here now?
You've been in here for a while. Hey, Parson.
Oh. Well, hey, Robin.
Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year. I'm doing the best I can. I guess we all are, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, just...
I don't even know. I needed a little bit of political therapy because of all this craziness.
Well, you've come to the right place, I think.
I know. The first place I thought of coming, just like, oh my.
I'm fresh out of the Mexican gasoline and the swirly straws, but apart from that, we've been deconstructing this horse shit for a solid week now.
What are we on, 13, right?
We're 13, tonight after 10 will apparently be the 14th ballot.
Jesus.
If they think they've got a vote, if they think they've got it.
It's at the point where, like, I am, like, you know, I follow politics quite regularly, and I'm literally like, okay, so what are we at now?
Yeah, how many times have they fucked this up so far? Yeah, this is a bunch to trust with the government.
Oh, it's crazy.
So, did you have a big New Year's Eve shindig out the Hollywood way?
I did. I actually.
Beverly Hills, swimming pools, movie stars.
Actually, yeah, all of the above. I am Hollywood's designated hillbilly. At this point,
Hollywood needs hillbillies.
Well, I'm there to make a scene and get loud and, you know, speak my mind in all of the fanciest of places that I'm less and less getting invited to. It's a toss-up, you know. It's like, it's all about networking out here. But once they find out that I'm just a very opinionated hillbilly, that's when you realize what doors are open and what doors are not. How are you?
I'm not freezing as compared to that.
Well, we've got a bomb cyclone. I don't know if you've heard.
Yes, I have. In fact, Sparky was talking about that a little bit ago. He said it hasn't not rained for a single day where he is in Northern California since Christmas Day.
To be fair, we're spoiled here. Well, I'm in SoCal, so, like, we're spoiled by the weather. It's generally very nice, but it is definitely a constant rain, and the Santa Ana winds have never been more of a piece of shit. But, like, we're okay. But I love my home of Appalachia, where we have all the four seasons.
That we do. Right now we're in the least pleasant one.
I know, and I acknowledge that I have successfully avoided that for the majority. You know, December, January, February in LA is rain. So I really can't complain too much, but I know that they're getting hammered up north. So
oh yeah.
I feel for those.
Well, I mean, I've seen stories about torrential rains and howling winds and stuff like that in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Well,
we had it on Saturday.
We had those up here too.
Saturday we had it here in Placerville.
Oh wow!
Wow,
that's kind of inland, isn't it, Squeaky?
The big redwood gave up a limb from the one storm.
Oh, they're in your backyard, Sparky?
Yeah.
Didn't do any damage to the mansion, did it? Hope not.
No, it's far enough away from the house. It wouldn't hit the house. It might hit the man cave.
You had a redwood fall on your man cave?
No, he's got a humongous redwood in his backyard, and it got a limb blown off. And it didn't hit the man cave, but it's close enough.
They don't call them trees widowmakers for nothing.
Oh, no, definitely not.
I've got two of them. They're side by side. Not between the two of them were, somebody told me the other day where they don't get enough light. It weakens the limbs or something, because that's where all the limbs fall down from, between the two trees.
Well, Parson, you remember my son, Ferg, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, there's a picture of him from several years ago hugging Sparky's redwood, because he, too, is a tree hugger.
Oh, I love it. That's great.
So, you know, you work in the entertainment industry, Parson.
I do.
What have you been into of late?
I've been working on just some little bits of reality shows. Can't really go into too much. But
no, there's probably non-disclosure agreements involved.
Yeah, I'm great at riding the line of NDAs. I worked on a couple reality shows. I'm actually looking at, you know, pivoting more into doing more voice work. I work a little bit for a national radio syndicate, and I might transition a little bit more into that.
I've heard some of those.
Without getting myself in trouble.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I've really been focusing on the last, like, because I'm in between gigs right now, like, through the holidays, and right now just focusing on this, you know, Capitol Hill debacle. It reminds me of when we used to do weeks in Washington and lobby, and you and I met, you know, like being on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, which happens really to be like over a decade ago now, which blows my mind.
I know, right? And I just, like, you know, I'm advancing my own career to the best of my ability, but I am always thinking about, like, damn, like, part of me just wants to get back on the Hill and, you know, rally the old troops and new troops.
Annette,
the trainings that we used to do.
Oh yeah, Annette was listening last night, and she heard me say that 2023 marks our 11th year working on the AIC Act. And she looked at me this morning and said, "My God, is it really 11 years?" And I went, "It really is 11 years."
And that wasn't even the first piece of legislation that our, you know.
Oh no, there was the Appalachian Restoration Act.
And the Clean Water Protection Act.
Yep.
Yeah. No, we've been, fighting this fight for a long time.
Yeah, since, like, what, 2008, maybe?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's about right. 2007, 2008, I think is when.
Because I think we went to Power Shift in 2009.
There was one in 2009, and then there was one in 2011. I wasn't at 2009. I was at the 2011 one. But
maybe it was the 11 one.
Yeah.
because we were pushing the green jobs now in Appalachia thing, and yeah,
and man, you know, it's like that feeling, that like inspiration that I felt from, you know, from at that time, like my elders, you know, there's nothing like that. Like, I just, I don't feel
you were just a fresh faced young kid back then, weren't you, Parson?
At one point I was.
No, because when I first met you, you were still in film school.
Yeah, I was in college. I was just a kid. And I brought a whole bunch of my kid colleagues with me.
Hey, y'all, let's go save the planet.
I know. We were definitely like the Planeteers.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm hoping. No. You know, I haven't been back to D.C. since COVID descended on us, and I want to get back in there. And if there's... if there's one thing,
well, I think that's...
if there's one thing to be said for apparently the maggot majority does not give a good goddamn about COVID or people carrying guns onto the floor of the House, for that matter. And I fully expect to see Lauren Bobblehead Boobert and Marginal Trailer Queen packing heat. In fact, a California member of the House, Eric Swalwell, said, a lot of my Republican colleagues glorify violence and proudly display the firearms they have in their offices, so it just makes me nervous that we could have a workplace violent event. They're not the most stable people. And he's not wrong, Parson.
No, and you and I have discussed this, and I've talked about this, you know, across the board since since January 6th last year, where we, you know, I was explaining to my friends, like, oh, I was watching this unfold in real time, like, oh, well, I've marched on these same places, like, oh wow, they're like climbing up on it. Okay, you're not actually allowed to that, okay, you're really not supposed to be on that part of the Capitol. Okay, what are they doing? Okay, guys, this is not how a protest goes. And, like, I'm, like, literally, like, live, you know, like, just, like, play-by-play with my housemates at the time. Just like, okay, this is not democracy. What's happening is not right.
Yeah, I've been there. Oh, look, I've been there. Oh, I didn't do that.
Right, like, and we've done, like, you and I, like, together have been participated in some, you know, very, like, strongly worded, like, what we considered to, at that time, like, to be, like, very powerful movements and rallies, and we've surrounded buildings, we've had, you know, like, supported activists that have been arrested, and, like, on sit-ins, die-ins, etc., but always, like, nonviolent. And I was just like, okay, that is not...
In fact, you know the idiot Ashley Babbitt who got herself killed 2 years ago today? You've heard of her, right?
Yeah.
Former Air Force veteran. Well, turns out that her stupid mother got herself arrested today because she went to a January 6th protest of her own. Mickey Whitheft, Ashley Babbitt's 50-year-old mother, was with a bunch of other demonstrators who illegally blocked traffic on Independence Avenue outside the Capitol. Capitol Police said a woman in the group was given multiple warnings to get out of the road. Instead of getting out of the road, the woman refused to leave, turned around with her hands behind her back, and asked to be arrested. And she was carrying some stupid sign about Ashley Babbitt was murdered or something, which was not true. Ashley Babbitt was just another terrorist attacking the Capitol on January the 6th.
I mean, I hate to call people stupid, but it just, there's no logic to any of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way in which we were trained to be, and I've been documenting this process for years, how to be, how to manage civil disobedience.
Well, yeah, we were put through training.
And non-aggressive, like, it was against every single thing that we'd been trained for, that I continued to train others to do, which is why, so my ultimate point is, yeah, I think we all, and I've wanted to call you personally as well, but like, and we've discussed this over time, like, where do we go next when it, like, how do we lobby moving forward after the January 6th insurrection? How do we rally without being perceived as a threat? You know, like, democracy is being viewed through a, you know, there's an evolution of the lens now, because we've experienced this atrocity, this defamation of our capital. I can, as riled up as our hillbillies, you know, our Appalachia Rising, like, you know, like the Million Hillbilly March, which was about
the Million Hillbilly March, yeah.
Yeah. Which was fantastic and one of the greatest days.
It was history making, and in fact it established a template for other non environmental protests that would come along later.
Yes. Very well organized, very well structured.
And it was unique insofar as it was people, it was mostly liberal and progressive people, Appalachia Rising was, who went and protested at the White House when under the presidency of a Democrat. Because Barack Obama was doing absolutely less than zero to address the Appalachian apocalypse.
Yes.
And so a couple of years later, picking up on the notion that we built, there was an anti-war protest in front of the White House, just like Appalachia Rising. And that was the one where Tara Devlin and I, and someday I have to introduce you to Tara, she's wonderful, but Tara Devlin and I drove the getaway car when we went to spring Mike Malloy out of the joint after he got arrested at that anti-war protest.
Yeah, well, I think it goes to, like, my work in the last over a decade has been, you know, documenting and learning and sharing knowledge from one of the most fascinating and compelling parts of activism to me has always been how well organized, how dignant, and how structured demonstrations and actions can be managed. You know, maybe that's like partly because, like, I come from, like, you know, film production where, you know, everyone, like, you know, everything is very well assigned and choreographed.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that so much about the, not just the Alliance for Appalachia, but, like, all of the, like, contingents that, you know, like, came together for Appalachia Rising. And like, and also in Chicago, the, you know, the Chicago Clean Power Coalition.
Right. Little Village.
Little Village. And, yeah, and, I guess just the point is, like, I was literally watching this unfold live last year with friends.
Year before last, but yeah.
Year before last. Excuse me. Thank you so much. 2-year anniversary, pardon me. But I was like, this is not what you do. This is not how you protest.
But it is what you do if you want to mount a terrorist attack on the capital of the United States. And I think that's the point, Parson. This was not a protest. This was a terrorist attack on the Capitol.
as angry as we were about mountaintop removal and being the exploitation of Appalachian people, we surrounded buildings. We made our voices heard, but we did not break their
windows. We did not commit treason.
No. And it's like it makes me wonder how demonstrating is going to be in the future. How are we to, because I expect for security to be more vigilant, but there still needs to be room in a democracy for that anger and expression. But not every entity is there to bash the windows in and go into attack mode. I mean, that was a disgrace. So as an activist
and treason,
yes. So, but like as somebody who coordinates and wants to move things forward, like I can't help but wonder, like, what are other people's opinions on us? How do we even take on a rally or a lobby week, you know, with the same.
Well, and that's what I was getting at earlier. I haven't been to D.C. to work on the AIC Act since the pandemic came down. We were planning to go and work in 2020, and then, we were supposed to go in March, and it was like, no, I don't think we better. Things are not looking safe. This looks, you know, we could get all dead doing that. And it's been impossible to go and do lobby work, citizen lobby work, ever since, because in large part, the offices have been largely empty, and when they're not empty, you can't get in without a specific invitation. So it's been frustrating, and I'm really eager to get back to it.
Me too, and I think that most people don't, you know, really understand that it's changed the. You know, September 6th and the things leading up to it and the pandemic, you're right, all combined have actually truly changed the way that democracy has worked in this country, because you and I know very well that for so long, this, like, what we were able to do at least was walk through, you know, general security and go walk into any office that we, you know, like, whether we had an appointment or not, you know, like, we were able to access our representatives. Now that, you know, this has added, you know, a level of caution, which I understand, but it also makes accessibility, you know, like, we have less accessibility to our representatives.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, Parson, it's great talking with you. Chime in as you need through the course of the evening. I want to go around and talk to some, get some other folks into the conversation. And thank you very kindly to Kevin and Tracy up in Massachusetts. You've gotten us down to $428 to finish the week in fundraising. And, you know, I don't know, we'll... maybe we'll call it the Help Robin Kick the Bucket. Not challenge. There's no challenge money out there. But the Help Robin Kick the Bucket at the end of the week, so that I can get off this incredibly uncomfortable Lowe's bucket, making, sitting in for the fabulous Horn Excellence in Broadcasting chair that went to its long home a couple of days ago. Well, yesterday, as a matter of fact. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut for sending this along. This is hilarious. A guy named Lucas Kuntz, K-U-N-C-E, maybe Kuntz. He's a Marine vet, and he's decided that he's going to run for Senate in Missouri in 2024 and challenge Josh Hall an ass, and he's introduced his first ad. This is delightful. Lexington, Missouri.
My name is Lucas Kuntz. I've done a lot of running in my life. Running to stay healthy. Running to fight for my country. Running to defend democracy.
Meanwhile, the video over which Lucas Kuntz is narrating shows a guy on like an old gravel road somewhere in Missouri, and he's wearing a blue suit and a necktie and looks vaguely like the senior senator from Missouri.
Oh.
And there's a moment as he's running when his American flag pin falls off his lapel and lands in the dirt.
And by the way, that guy you're looking at, that's not me. That's our current U.S. Senator Josh Hawley. This guy. Or maybe you'd better recognize him running for his life a few hours later. I swear, this coward's always running from something. And now, this is the guy who's writing a book telling every single one of us how to be a man. Now this is me, Lucas Kuntz, running for Senate. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I did have the support of my community, which made me who I am today. When things get tough, Missourians deserve a U.S. Senator who will stand up for them, not run away. That's why I'm running to replace Josh Hawley, because we couldn't be more different. When his banker daddy sent Joshua to a fancy prep school miles from his hometown, my family in Jeff City was relying on our neighbors to survive bankruptcy and medical bills. When he graduated from law school, he joined one of the world's most elite corporate law firms. I joined the Marine Corps to pay back the community that took care of me. When he was climbing the ladder to become another corrupt politician, I was serving my country and working to put an end to overseas wars. When giant corporations were stripping Missouri for parts, he attacked workers and shipped our jobs away, while I fought to take power back for American workers and small businesses. And when he voted against relief for vets like me who were exposed to toxic burn pits, I stood up alongside thousands of veterans to hold him accountable. I'm Lucas Kuntz, and I approve this message because Josh Hawley is a fraud and a coward. And by the time I'm done with him, the whole world's gonna know it. So keep on running, Josh. Keep on running.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Wow. Amazing. And thank you, Squeaky, jumping in. We are now down to 3:28 to go to close fundraising and kick the bucket. Thank you so much. If we can raise that the minute I get off air, please believe me, I'll be placing the order for that chair. I can't thank you enough. A little bit of other news. I saw this earlier, and Darlene in Connecticut shared it with us. She said, we talked about this guy when I called in a while ago. Isn't actual justice grand? Headline, judge suspends law license of lawyer for Alex Jones following Sandy Hook document leaks. Yeah, this is a beautiful thing. This is about Norman Pattis's law license. It's in suspension for 6 months. Judge Barbara Bellis wrote in a court order, at a basic level, attorneys must competently and appropriately handle the discovery of sensitive materials in civil cases. Otherwise, our civil system, in which discovery of sensitive information is customary and routine, would simply collapse. And she flatly rejected that it was an oopsie on Pattis's part. She said he failed to provide even the minimal amount of attention and care required when it came to handling the plaintiff's sensitive discovery materials. We cannot expect our system of justice or our attorneys to be perfect, but we can expect fundamental fairness and decency. There was no fairness or decency in the treatment of the plaintiff's most sensitive and personal information, and no excuse for Pattis's misconduct. Meanwhile, Pattis is on the legal team representing Joseph Biggs, one of the Proud Boys, as he's being tried for seditious conspiracy in D.C. I suppose that only applies in Connecticut, but it's still a great moment. Y'all, I need to ask your forbearance for a moment. Anybody want to jump in and get the conversation up and rolling? Because I need to be away from the microphone for a minute or two.
Sure thing, Robin.
Hey, thank you, Kevin. Be right back.
All right. Who else is here?
What's up, Kevin?
What's going on?
I just got a call from Karen. She's broke down on McGinnis Ferry Road, which is like a huge major road. And the cops are there, postmaster's there. It's a big scene, man. Those LLVs, they're crap, aren't they?
Oh, they're getting terrible. Old.
Yeah.
They've been overhauled for what, 20 years now? 30 years on now?
And they all got old Gremlin. A lot of them got old Gremlin engines in them. Remember the Gremlins?
Oh, God, it's hilarious. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I turned the key and I listened for the fuel pump to stop. And
this was about 2 miles from the post office, and it just took a crap. You know, what can you do, man?
Are you guys getting weather down there, or what's going on?
No. Nice here, man. It's just cold, a little bit cold.
Yeah, we had some rain. We've had off and on rain for the last 5 days up here in Mass, and we had some wet snow, but it just stuck on the grass. Got about an inch, maybe. That's about it.
Looked like there was some circulation moving into California. I don't know what the hell that's all about.
Oh, yeah. I seen that. All that rain out there.
Just me and you?
I guess. Roger's in the room.
I went looking for some pictures to see if I could find any today-type pictures in Northern California. But the flooding down around Sacramento is sucking up the airwaves. So the rivers in Northern California, I can't find any today's pictures. But when I say North Coast, I'm talking Eureka area, getting hammered pretty hard. They even had a 97-mile-an-hour gust of wind on a rather low ridgetop just outside of Ferndale, which is, I don't know, 30 miles south of Eureka.
Wow.
Damn, 97-mile-an-hour wind on the ridgetop and sustained 50 on the flats.
Global
warming's without
a hoax.
Power a lot. Pardon?
Global warming's a hoax, haven't you heard?
Well, it's a cold wind, so it can't be global warming.
Right. I don't know, man. We really, air messaging is terrible. It should never been called global warming. It should have been presented as extreme climate change 30 years ago, not global warming.
Well, I can understand what you're saying there, Steve, but the fact is it is a global warming. And
the phenomenon, but the masses don't understand that. That's why you have Jim Inhofe taking a snowball out on the Senate floor, you know? They don't get it.
They don't get that the warming is what's causing the jet streams to move around. Did you catch that thing where it's 60 degrees at 4 o'clock in the morning around Europe? And I'm talking Northern Italy, Switzerland area. 60 degrees at 4 o'clock in the goddamn morning. And that was their low for the night. In January.
My goodness.
Well, the other thing I came across, because I'm kind of monitoring CNN right now, that stabbing of the students in Moscow, Idaho. And they picked a dude up, and he's been transferred. Apparently today in court, they opened up some affidavits and all that. They still haven't found the murder weapon, but a sheath that would house a knife like the one that was used in the murder was found at the scene. And it had his DNA on it and his cell phone tower connectivity. Had him there at approximately the time of the murders, and also him cruising by about 5 hours after the murders, the same location, And he had been there multiple times before. And a father of one of the victims was on and said the testimony that he's seen in the affidavits is he was stalking that apartment complex for quite some time before he committed the murders. So I think his ass is going to get strung.
That's pretty weird.
I know still.
Wasn't he studying some kind of criminology course or something? Or
yeah, he was getting his PhD from a university in Washington.
What do you think happened, Roger? You think he just snapped or wanted to try out some of his theories? I mean,
no, I think he was. I think at one time he was the boyfriend, or at least associated with one of the girls, and I think he's an incel. And he was pissed that she was giving it away to another, some other guy, and he wasn't getting any of it. That's just my take. I've got nothing to
back that
to
up.
Really base that on.
Mm-hmm. But he seems like he knew how to clean up. Well, he was trying from everything he'd learned. You know,
well, yeah, and part of his PhD research that he's been doing was on people of heinous crimes is what did they feel like before, what did they feel like during, and what did they feel like after.
So he was in on the psychological end of all that.
Well, he was probably, I mean, most psych majors try and figure out what's wrong with them. And I think his research was to find out whether or not his feelings fit the mold of, you know, he was planning on doing this killing, and he wondered if his feelings were any different than other criminals that are doing that kind of shit. Anyhow, that's
what a fucking shame. Opinion. What a waste, man. I mean, he could have contributed so much instead of just going the other direction, you know?
Well, but incels are just incels. They're warped.
So have you come? I've been reading as much as I could. I'm back, y'all. We had a bucket crisis. The whole thing fell apart, and I just about fell off and hurt myself.
Robin, when the show's over, go to Wally World and get you a chair. Goddamn.
No, I found one. I'm going to order it from Amazon as soon as I can. I can't get one from the Wally World because I can't get it in the car. It's got to be delivered.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's like a big TV. I get it.
So if we can finish fundraising this evening, it'll be the Help Robin. It'll be Help Robin Kick the Bucket Friday. I just about tipped over in this thing, and it was kind of unpleasant, and had to sort of re-rig this otherwise not particularly comfortable situation. But I was going to ask Roger, have you come around to the idea that dude is an incel too?
Yeah, that's my gut feeling, but I mean, I haven't seen anything where he's talking about being an incel. But at one time, something came through the line that he had either dated or wanted to date one of the girls that was living in that house.
Hmm.
That just says to me, scorned lover, scorned attempted lover. And anyhow, just sort of a gut feeling, jumping to conclusions without any real evidence.
Well, there was one story out of, I think, a brewery or a brew pub in Pennsylvania, because I guess that's where he was from, in which they made notes about him in the internal system of the brew pub, talking about how he would get weird with the women wait staff there and say inappropriate things. So he's beginning to fit a pattern. And the fact that the other thing that sticks in my mind is that roughly the same time, you had the 28-year-old guy who was catfishing a 15-year-old girl in Riverside, California, who drove across country, murdered her grandparents, murdered her mother, and made her and her sister an orphan, and tried to kidnap the 15-year-old girl. And that kid and that murderer had incel written all over him.
And he was a cop.
Yeah. Sobering, ain't it?
Yeah. And this guy from Idaho was a PhD student in criminology.
Mm-hmm. And as I was just going to add that these guys, they radicalize really easily over into other extremist areas, you know, like being Nazis and stuff.
Well, I think this is one of the problems with, in essence, our entire law enforcement setup. Including the FBI, is that they truly are part of the fascist underbelly of the country. And, I mean, the whole thing that we've talked about before, had January 6th been black or brown, there would have been a huge bloodbath.
Yeah, the blood would have flowed as high as a horse's bridle.
Yeah, but because they were white, nobody wanted to be the one that took a shot. Well, they did take the first shot, but a lot of other people didn't. After that first shot, again, had it been black or brown, everybody within sound of that first shot would have pulled out their gun and continued firing. Just the same way we've seen black kids shot down by multiple police officers in all kinds of situations around this country. But the white boy gets to stop off at McDonald's and get a hamburger before he ends up getting hauled to the jail.
Yeah. Burger King, actually, but the point's the same.
Okay. Well, a burger joint.
Yeah, and he's got dough in the bank, you know, too, on top of it.
Oop. Got what?
He's got dough in the bank. The kid there.
Yeah.
Rittenhouse.
Oh, no, that's the... Roger's talking about the kid that shot up Mother Emanuel in South Carolina. You're talking about...
I'm sorry.
Herr Rittenhouse.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got them two mixed up. Hey, I was thinking about... I have a little theory. Well, it's kind of a little twisting, but... Have you guys ever listened to that Ultra, that Rachel Maddow?
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a couple. I have not yet, but a lot of people seem to think that there's a lot of value in paying attention to that.
Well, yeah.
What's your take?
First of all, I didn't know about it. I mean, I never realized how bad the Nazi problem was in this country. I mean, I know Lindbergh, but she goes into great detail. I mean, it was prevalent throughout many members of Congress, and they used the mail system, the United States mail, to mail out all these Nazi propaganda things. They had ties to Hitler's government. I mean, it was deep. It was very deep. And I think, in essence, what stopped it, I guess you could argue, is that World War II happened, and then we had to go fight them, and, the Nazis. And but even while it was going on, even while the war was going on, there was people here in the Congress that were kind of
and nationally the Bund.
Yeah.
One of the things that Rachel brings out in that is that the American Congress and the entire American government was infiltrated with the Nazis. But when you put a little bit more together with it. Had the Japanese not bombed Pearl Harbor, we probably wouldn't have entered the war until after Britain fell.
Yeah.
If at all.
If at all,
if at all.
Right. I mean, they went to great lengths to stop these Justice Department people from persecuting these members of Congress. And it was a shit show. Where do you hear it? I mean, I don't want to give it away, but... Roger knows. I mean, what those people did in the courtroom, they acted like complete freaks. It was a freak show. And they let them get away with it. They slapped them for contempt of court. They, some of them got fined. I think a few of them got jailed for you know, being disruptive. But, you know, all in all, the judge just basically, there were so many of them, and they were so whacked out, and they were so committed to their ideology that I think one of the judges wound up getting sick, I think, and they get replaced with another judge. I don't want to get too much into it. So I'm like kind of like comparing it to now. Okay, we see the problem. We know what's going on now, and we got another war going on over in Ukraine, and we're starting to step up with Bradley's now, and Germany's stepping up their game, and who knows how this is going to turn out. And, you know, if things really, really get bad and we got guys going over there, you know, fighting, well, there's my similarity, and therein lies my theory. So there you go. Anyway.
Well,
it shouldn't come to that. It shouldn't come to that.
Yeah, but we were a very compromised nation at that point in time. It's like yesterday when one of those maggots nominating Kevers talked about how the last time this happened it was 1923, and the Republican Congress under Calvin Coolidge in 1923 would go on to lead a massive expansion of the economy and prosperity for all Americans. They really do count on the ahistorical or the lack of historical knowledge of the American people, don't they?
Sure they do.
I mean, in six more years, the entire economy of the world would collapse, led by the collapse of the American economy brought on by the policies of the Republican goddamn party. And America would have to suffer and bleed and die for another 3 years until they could get rid of Herbert Hoover and the Republican Congress. In fact, it was that inauguration of 1933 that brought about the change to inauguration happening on January 20th, because inauguration prior to then had been in March. And the country was in such dire straits that we couldn't wait. And so the inauguration was moved into January.
And you had the bank holidays and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Are these people ignorant? Do they not know? No, they're liars. They are liars. And will sit there and lie about the history of this country that is irrefutable.
Yep, they'll keep lying, and it'll make them. I don't know. They want to go after. I don't know what they're going to do, but something needs to get done. Somebody needs to step up in there. I don't know.
Speaking of this scum, I had a note in the last hour from Kim in New York. Hi, Robin. Hi, Kim. The House Clavern met at fellow insurrectionist Mark Meadows' office to strategize. If we ever needed proof that there must be accountability, here it is. Why are these traitors able to freely commune to continue their destruction of our democracy? And sent me a story from Yahoo News. House members blocking McCarthy speaker bid meet at offices of ex-Trump chief Mark Meadows. 300 Independence Avenue, and there's Matt Gaetz and Paul Gosar, the demon dentist of the desert, and Ralph Norman of South Carolina stand, all standing outside an outfit called the Conservative Partnership Institute offices, which just happened to be the workspace of Mark Meadows, who joined the Conservative Partnership Institute as senior partner in January of 2021, right after the attack on the Capitol.
Oh boy, I hope he's got a lot of information that the Justice Department is going to use to, you know, nail some of these people, because he needs to go. That guy needs, Meadows needs to fucking go. You know who else needs to go? Who was the guy that sent out a directive to the Capitol Police that they can't use basically just took their cut their balls off. That guy, I forget his name. He needs to go.
Oh yeah, in addition to the three I mentioned, Byron Donalds of Florida went there. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, Chip Roy of Dribblin' Dick, Texas, were apparently all in there conspiring. And, of course, the Conservative Partnership Institute was founded by none other than Jim Demented, who used to be a senator from South Carolina and then was elevated to be head of the Heritage Foundation. It's shameful, and it leads me to say what I've been saying. Well, I think it was Dave and the Blind who changed it from y'all they're going to do it again to y'all they're still doing it.
How about y'all?
Kim signed off furious in New York City. I join you in your fury, Kim. It is not ill-placed.
They're going to do it for 2 years. They got 2 years.
They're going to do it until they destroy the government of the United States, Kevin.
I know. Exactly. That's what they want to do. September's a debt ceiling. So they got to figure something out. I think maybe Biden can figure something out legally to keep it from the whole country from fucking collapsing. But I don't know. I wouldn't. If I was Biden, I wouldn't be standing by and letting the House do all this shit. I'd do something. I'd figure out something.
Well, I think they've just got a message against them relentlessly, and yep. Talk about how they want to gut America. You know, they throw fits about the southern border when all they want to do is hurt more people with Title 42. But they don't see asylum seekers or people trying to get across the border to get away from the hell and damnation that we ourselves created. They don't even see asylum seekers as human beings. They still refer to them as illegals.
I think they just look at them as political pieces, you know, to make them get everybody all wound up, you know. And they're the ones that are doing all the work. They're the ones that are going to farms.
And they also won't look at the drug problem we have in this country, as the fentanyl is simply supplying a demand created by the people here in the United States. Why can't they start looking at what is creating that demand to start shutting it down?
Well, and the problem with fentanyl is that it's sort of self-eliminating because people die when they do it.
Oh, I'm not trying to say that fentanyl's not a bad drug. That's not where.
No, I wasn't thinking. I didn't think you were.
No, it's that. The law of supply and demand. If there was not a demand for the drugs, and by the way, most of the drugs do not come in over the border. They come in ports of entry, the other ports of entry, not...
Yeah, via big boat.
Or submarine or whatever. Now, cocaine was a lot of submarine traffic. But anyhow, my point here is that they keep wanting to only use the symptoms as the whipping boy. They don't want to get to the cause. And the cause is the demand. What's causing the demand? It's the depressed opportunity for people in this country to have a meaningful life. And yet every goddamn thing they do is making the life worse. The declining middle class, the poverty, the homelessness, the veterans that can't get taken care of and can't get pain meds through the VA because some asshole doctor decided that more than 3 Oxycontin a month is too much to give a veteran. I get frustrated. Sorry.
No, you're not wrong, Roger. Because look where they dumped. What was it? Enough hydrocodone to give every West Virginian an addiction. I mean, millions upon millions upon millions of pills. You know, they dumped it in little rural areas in West Virginia where, as I have said in the past, young people have more in common with the besieged people of the Gaza Strip than they do with Americans in other part of the country. It is an enforced kind of hopelessness. I was talking with Annette last night, and I said, I got to find this document, and I don't know if Parson's still around, but years ago, someone got hold of a document that was produced by the Council for Columbia Gas, and it was a roadmap or a plan for the depopulation of West Virginia to make this state safe for the hydrocarbon industry. And it talked about depopulating this state and making it somewhere no one would want to go. And just having enough people here to service the oil, coal, and natural gas industries. They have been wildly successful. And part of that, as far as I can tell, is the immiseration of the poor and the hopeless. And I've never seen anything to disprove that idea. Oh, and
during the 60s, there was an incredible effort made to incarcerate via the drug laws all the anti-Vietnam War protesters.
Well, the original war on drugs was invented by Nelson Rockefeller in the state of New York. I mean, that's a fact. And then it caught on as a national phenomenon. Oh, and by the way, Ron and Raleigh said the timeline's a little off. Lindbergh was involved in the plot that Smedley Butler was called to lead. That was in 1933. Ultra was in 1940, another plot where Nazis were involved. The 1933 plot was led by American industrialists and financiers because FDR had ended the gold standard and the rich folks thought they would lose their wealth. Both were fascist. One was homegrown, although they admired Hitler and Mussolini. And a weather report coming in from Tom in sunny San Rafael, not so sunny. Well, Bay Area weather, well, it's been rainy and windy with a whole series of atmospheric rivers and more to come. Unfortunately, it'll take a constant series of them through the end of February to significantly ease the drought. With that comes flooding and lots of damage. Even that won't end our mega drought, which, depending on the source, has been going on for 30, 100, or even 1,000 years. Most of California's water is stored in the snowpack in the Sierras, and it melts slowly over the summer when we capture a lot of it in reservoirs. But now, with global warming, the snowpack melts early and fast, which causes even more damage and leaves us in drought again. Witness the Oroville Dam near disaster of a few years ago. This year, we're in La Nina for the third year straight. El Niños tend to bring the rainy winters like this one, but it can go either way, and it's not a sure thing. Sparky mentioned the winter of 1997. I had to do a lot of outdoor work that winter, and it rained every single day for 40 days. Not 40 days and 40 nights, but close enough. Signed, Tom, in sunny San Rafael. Sounds a little like Appalachia, Tom. So, Skeev, did you ever get recharged?
Yeah, but yeah, my wife broke down, Robin. You were out on hiatus.
Yeah, or low bucketus.
You got to get a chair, bro. I mean, at least get a stool from Walmart.
Well, I mean, that would be about as uncomfortable.
That's, I know, but at least you'd have to be more comfortable than a can until your chair gets there. I think a stool is like $25.
Yeah, right now the power company, the water company, and et cetera, everybody else seem to be getting all of the money. It's just how things are. But, you know, we've only got $328 to go to finish the week, so
you're nearly there.
Yeah, if we could get there, I will order the new chair the instant the show is over. Cuz this is
in Lao, if it can, you can just get one of them four-stool sitting chairs.
No, this is one of the you've seen them at Lowe's, those blue 5-gallon buckets.
Oh God, you can't sit on that, man.
Well, there's an outdoor chair or rocking chair cushion. There's one of those. There's a rolled up bathrobe. There's my donut cushion from post-op, and there's a pillow. And it's okay as long as I stand up every now and then.
You don't have no back support.
No, there's not. There is no back support. That's why I kind of almost fell off the bucket there a little bit ago. But it's gonna be the same thing at Walmart, and I might as well get something with a little bit of quality to it, you know, if that's possible.
You know, when I played music, you have to have a straight back chair with no arms for a guitar.
Right.
You know? And you can get one of those that has a cushioned bottom on it for like $20. I mean, it's like the big lighter of chairs. Get one of those until you can get something comfortable in, you know. That'll fit in your car, too.
Yeah, I could throw a bar stool in the car.
Something that you could use at a later time that beats a bucket, you know. If you need me to help you out, let me know. I got your back, man.
Lee in New York wrote a little bit ago and said, couldn't you get like a table from your dining room? Oh, Lee. No. No. There's two families living in this house.
Was it one of those gospel hustlers that was pushing the 5-gallon bucket meals?
No, that was Jim Baker. Yeah.
Buckets in a board, you can make a table.
Well, see, I'm fibbing a little bit. This isn't really a Lowe's bucket. It's a Jim Baker bucket pudding bucket that we already ate all the pudding.
I knew it was. That's where I was getting at it. I knew it.
Yeah, see, you spotted me. Busted.
Jeremy, even thought of it.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hold on.
How's warm and toasty Vermont?
It's rained all week long. There's no snow.
There's snowmobiling.
No snowmobiling. Supposedly it's coming in the future. We'll see. But I have a feeling that my future is going to involve side-by-sides in the next 5 years because snow is becoming less and less of a commodity here. I have a feeling we're going to take a major hit or skiers here in the next 10 years.
Well, damn, Jeremy. Good to see you here, man.
Thanks. So, usually it is, otherwise everything's fine, I guess. Other than the clown show going on for the last four days. But he thinks he has votes for the 15th vote, so we'll see.
You think he's going to get it?
He says for the 15th vote, he thinks he has the votes.
I think they're out getting Matt Gaetz hammered now. Probably got a full of blow. Yeah, he'll greet anything they put in front of him right now.
Yeah, they got Anna Hava-Nagila there. You want another shot, Matt? I'll pour you another shot. Hey, you can drink a shot out of my belly button. You want to do that, hon?
I just like that him, that Matt Gaetz and Lil Boba are all going at each other. They're all attacking each other in a circular fire club.
Great?
Right, I love it.
Isn't that great, Jeremy? Big bag of rats. Fight, fight, fight.
Wait. Did Bobblehead cross over?
No. She's a holdout. She's holding firm. Gats is a holdout. And who are the other three, Roger?
Andy Biggs is one of them, isn't he?
I'm going to go see if I can find that post that had a wall listed.
Well, I've got something here that
21-5, you know, so they flipped a lot.
You might find this interesting. When they were taking the magnetometers out, somebody got video of Clanny Oakley. Now let's check this out here. At least the audio.
Members of Congress to vote today. They are being removed, and we are trying to close the House back into the People's House. Congresswoman, this was put here in part because of you. Do you have a response to whether Democrats are going to feel unsafe? Should they feel unsafe?
Absolutely not. They should not feel unsafe. If they do, they should come see me for a concealed carry weapons permit, and I can make sure that they are locked and loaded in Washington.
What do you think of Pelosi using that as a justification for these metal detectors?
Nancy Pelosi has been a monster of a speaker, and I'm very happy that she no longer has the gavel, and little political stunts like the magnetometers are gone forever.
Will you be bringing a gun onto the House floor?
Will you be bringing a gun onto the House floor? And she just
did away with the metal detectors.
She just gave this coy little shrug. Yeah, she'll be packing heat. So will some of the other insurrectionist, treasonous fucks. Because among other things, back in 2021, Clanny Oakley there said that she would carry a Glock in D.C. It's illegal to carry a gun in D.C. At least it was, until Heller. She went on and said of the magnetometers, I think they should be removed from the Capitol, filled with Tannerite and blown up.
So what are Kevo's odds tonight? Let's take a poll. It depends on how drunk old Hi-Hat Matt is right now. He's the leader of that holdout.
Kevin's going to get elected.
Oh, no doubt about it.
He might be getting elected by some of the holdout people voting present so they can continue to campaign on the fact that they never voted for Kevin McCarthy. But it will reduce the number of votes that Kevin McCarthy needs
for.
If there's five just voted present, then he would be a lock-in. Is that what you're saying?
Apparently, there are still five that were voting against him in the last election. If one of those five votes for him and one of them votes present, I think that's enough for him to get the election. To be confirmed as speaker.
I think we do ourselves a disservice if we think that there's a fundamental difference between those five maggot weirdos and, the other 217 maggot weirdos. When Elise Stupidnik, number three in the Republican caucus, stood up to nominate Kevers the first or second time, whenever it was, and she said, Republicans have a plan for what we want to do to the American people. And nobody in the for-profit media picked that up. I get, it's just a Freudian slip. Well, Freudian slips are Freudian slips for a reason. Freudian slips are Freudian slips because they tell you something about the inner workings of the mind of the person saying it. What we want to do to the American people. Because they do have plans for what they want to do to us. And it's not going to be fun. They've got this notion, we've all heard PAYGO, pay as you go, if you've got a bill that's going to cost something, you have to either prove that it's revenue neutral or that you can raise the money somewhere to pay for it. Well, it's called PAYGO. The latest thing to come down the pike for the maggots, though, is cut go. Oh, you want to pay the troops better? Okay, take money away from Social Security. Take money away from Medicare. Take money away from, food for children who are hungry. These are vandals. They're all vandals. There is no moderate Republican. God knows there's no liberal Republican. And one of these freaks said, I think it was earlier today, and you know what? When we've got power, we will grab the Senate and we'll drag them along with us whether they like it or not. I hope, You know, even if it's a slim majority, a majority is a majority. And if those maggots vote lockstep, they're going to win whatever they want to win. Am I wrong?
But yeah, Kevo's going to get it. I mean, it's just a matter of time.
No, but Steve, what I'm saying is they can do whatever they want to do as a House, whether it's a majority of one or a majority of 100. It comes to the same outcome. And these, so, you know, if they decide to starve Granny, they will pass a bill to starve Granny.
Let me ask you something, Robin. They've reduced this threshold to one person. Does that mean one Democrat could say, I want old Kevo removed, and they have to vote on it?
I don't know if that applies to the Democrats, but
it should.
It should, but should does not necessarily carry the day in terms of the Jeffersonian rules of practice and procedure.
You have to be in control of the majority for that to be effective, then. Is that what you're telling me?
I think. I don't know for sure. But here, I mean, let me make clear. It's not the Democrats that Kevers has to worry about. He has presented them his testicles in a pair of vice grips, and they can twist any time they want to.
It's going to make him a very ineffective leader.
Yeah, he's going to be the non-speaker. And see that, I mean, or you know, the pseudo-speaker. And I've seen articles touting that marginal trailer queen will be the shadow speaker. You know, the fact that she went over and voted with him and raised hell, you know, methinks the lady doth protest too much. And so she's going to have power, and she's going to continue to be friends with Bobblehead and Forehead and the Demon Dentist and Annie, you know, Andy, whose brain is not so big. And they're going to have the power. It's almost like they will have a veto power in the House. Because if those five don't go along with a proposal, it don't pass. And the way they are, what it means is that if something that the majority of Republicans want isn't cruel enough, isn't vicious enough, isn't hateful enough, then they will stomp their feet and hold their breath and twist his testicles in the vice grips until the bill is hateful enough, vicious enough, cruel enough, sick enough. That's who they are. And all we've got standing between, all we've got standing between us and that is a slim majority in the Senate that includes Joe Manchin and Curtsy and Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Biden, President of the United States of America. Now, they're not going to, they will not have any veto-proof majorities. So he may be vetoing a bunch of shit, and the stuff that comes to him that he vetoes will be a bunch of shit. Let's see. Okay. Thank you, Roger. Those members still choosing not to vote for McCarthy, Andy Biggs, Lauren Boebert, Eli Crane, Matt Gaetz, Bob Good, Matt Rosendale. Yeah, that Matt Rosendale dude, he's the one who sounds like he's from the Tidewater of Virginia, but it represents the 2nd District of Montana, and the fact that Montana has two districts simply...
What one of those did the Kyrsten Sinema maneuver today? He stood up and said, I'm voting for Kevin. Then he put his thumbs down and said, whoever the other... I can't remember the last
Hearn.
Name. Hearn. He said, I'm voting
that
for
was
Kevin.
Matt Rosen, that was Matt Rosendale.
Yeah, that was his Kyrsten Sinema move, wasn't it? And I texted Roger. I said,
yeah.
Did he just pull a Kyrsten Sinema? Did you catch that? Or?
No, I saw it, and it went over like a turd in a punch bowl. It was like the baby. It was like the Baby Ruth scene from Caddyshack. Duty.
is he still a holdout, I guess?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And old Forehead was pretty adamant. He's like, look, we can keep this going in perpetuity. So, you know, I don't know. If they are all in solidarity, these five, or how many is it now?
Five. That's all it takes.
All they gotta flip is what? One or two? They gotta flip two, right?
Yeah. They gotta get Kevers to 218. And a note coming in from Matt in San Francisco, San Francisco weather update. It's been an interesting week. The latest storm was a bit of a hellraiser. For context, I think it's important to understand how us San Francisco natives approach weather, which is to say we really don't do weather very well. We're accustomed to it being between 60 and 75 degrees no matter what time of the year it is. We can handle a little rain during winter. Anything above and beyond that, we don't really have the infrastructure of even personal experience with that to do when it's freezing cold. No one here has an ice scraper, for example. Air conditioning is something most people in the city don't have, because it really never used to get hot enough to justify buying one. Here's a personal example. In my previous job, I traveled throughout 8 western states to visit stores. The first time I went to Colorado during winter, I got to the car rental place and I asked the person behind the counter if there were chains in the car. They gave me a perplexed look and I said, you know, because of the snow. They looked at me some more and said, no, sir, we have people that take care of the roads and clear the snow. I thought that you needed chains because my only experience with snow was going to the Sierra Mountains, and if you were going to Tahoe, etc., chains are required, so you get the drift. The last storm came on the heels of another big storm last week. Last week it dumped so much rain that there was flooding in low-lying areas on 101, the freeway that most of us use to get to SFO International Airport. I've been on that highway. Was closed in both directions due to flooding. While driving my delivery route in the morning, I saw 2 car accidents at different underpasses near El Camino Real in San Mateo. I saw 3 cars submerged underwater because people misjudged just how deep the flooding was. That storm dumped more water than this last one. The local media did a great job of warning everyone about the last storm, so a lot of people stayed home. For example, my workplace shut down and did not have anyone work on Wednesday due to the forecast. The rain and winds were intense. A 40-foot trailer, the kind you see semi-tractor trailers carrying, in our yard at work was blown over and landed on its side. A tree was uprooted and fell in the front of our yard. We lost power at our house for about 14 hours from Wednesday into Thursday. Up north, there was a child kill when a tree fell on a house. The loss of life would have been much worse if the media had not alerted everyone to the severity of the storm. There continues to be rain in the forecast, so time will tell how we handle it. Hopefully, people have gotten wise and started to slow down when driving and stop gallivanting around carelessly as these storms continue to wallop us. At least that's what I'm hoping for. Thank you, Matt. That wind's sufficient to overturn a tractor trailer. I mean, Steve, you live in Georgia. I'm in West Virginia. I know what those winds are like. I grew up in Alabama. But usually they're accompanied by tornadoes, right?
Indeed.
And this is just howling in off the Pacific coast. I mean, it's going to be an interesting planet from here on out, it looks. And that's got to be really unsettling for people who aren't used to that kind of thing. You know, what was the headline from back in the 70s? There was a San Francisco Chronicle headline, 75 again today, no relief in sight. Yeah. Yeah, meanwhile, it's a tolerable 73.9 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios atop the Horn Studios broadcast bucket, which is a cue for me to say we got $328 to go in fundraising and about 20 minutes to get there if anybody wants to help out. Basically, that's just $28 of yesterday and then today. Thanks for the help. This evening. Thanks so much for getting it down that far. I really do appreciate it. We really do appreciate it. Ralph asks, so can the Senate and Joe Biden defeat these bills? Yeah, but there are some bills that you're gonna have to negotiate with the terrorists on. The Constitution gives the power of the purse to the House of Representatives, and Veronica Escobar of Texas earlier today said, You know, this government is only funded through September. I can only imagine what they're going to do when September gets here. And she's not wrong. They'll shut the government down in a heartbeat. And since they'll be more than a year out from an election, they won't think twice about it because they'll be quite sure and probably quite correct that the American people will completely forget it by then. Hell, they might shut the government down through January. You know, a lot of these Republicans oppose the very idea of Social Security, and they'd love nothing more than for Granny not to get her freaking check. Because, or for EBT not to be funded. That is who they are. But the American people get suckered in by horse shit like family values and they're coming to get your guns. You know, Emery, yeah. At least we have our guns. We can go out and hunt for skunks and possums to eat if they shut the government down like they need to.
And how many times did Dick Cheney say deficits don't matter?
Right. Roger, I don't know how I could be bleeding TV audio. There's no channel open to bleed TV audio from.
Everybody is muted. Everyone is.
Huh. That's
Everybody
weird.
Everybody else was muted except you.
I don't know where it was coming from. That's strange.
Well, it's gone now, and that's all that matters.
Okie dokie, because I never heard a blessed thing. Oh, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, I already told you guys. Bobert doesn't like those magnetometers because they set off the metal plates in her head, damn it. True enough. Oh, and Theo sent something along, an update to something we've been talking about. The power grid attack in Washington State. Two men arrested after power grid knocked out on Christmas Day. They're charged with conspiracy to damage energy facilities after attacks on numerous substations in Pierce County that caused around $3 million in damage and left 14,000 people in the dark on Christmas. Matthew Greenwood, aged 32, and Jeremy Crahan, aged 40, of Puyallup. Help me, Roger. Puyallup.
I live in Oregon, not Washington.
Yeah, but I thought you knew the pronunciation. Puyallup.
Nope, not from that one.
Puyallup, whatever. I get it wrong every time. They were arrested on New Year's Eve. They got busted through the phone through an analysis of phone records. And they matched a truck that showed up in some video. And then when they served a search warrant, they found clothing similar to what was worn in the surveillance images. So these stupid Nazis got too close to the surveillance cams. They seized two short-barreled firearms, one with a makeshift silencer that hadn't been registered. The pettifoggers haven't responded to any request for comment.
Quick update, Robin. Karen is rolling again. She's
oh, good.
Not broke down anymore. Yeah, I worry about her. A woman alone with, you know, in a male Jeep.
Yeah, in North Georgia? Yeah.
In North Georgia, you know, with all that valuable mail on board. And, gosh, man.
No, that's
really
worrisome.
Distracted.
What was the problem? Do you know?
I said or did anything to, you know, make anybody irritated. I apologize. I'm just...
No, you're fine. You're fine. Did she know what was wrong?
No, the male Jeep just took a crap.
Great.
Just took a crap, you know, and they don't know when. They had the police surrounded her. The postmaster came. He was with her. Of course, I felt a little bit better after that, but she went through a period of like 20 minutes where she was there alone by herself.
Well, it's frightening.
Yeah, well, yeah. Scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
But if she's rolling now, it looks like she's on her way home, and I'll be damn glad to see her. She's my best friend, you know?
Yeah. Well, she's a doll, and I love her to pieces.
She loves you too, Robin. We talk about you all the time.
That must explain that must explain all the ear burning. Okay, thank you to Irish Dave and Brother Deacon Asa. It's Puyallup. Puyallup. I will try to remember that. I have screwed that up so many times. I don't know why it keeps showing up in the news, but Puyallup.
Well, I've got another general update here.
Yeah.
The brother-in-law just closed the goddamn door, and he's finally going back home to Vancouver, Washington. We've had his ass here for the last 2 weeks.
Not a fan, Roger?
It's like the guest that won't leave, right?
Well, this is the one I was back east a year ago packing his goddamn house. He's a fucking hoarder. He comes in here to the mother-in-law unit, which is a nice little place, you know, and all that. And every goddamn square inch of every counter, every bed, every table, every chair has to get covered with something. Everything. And then we've got a spare refrigerator out here that we use for some overflow from the house when I'm marinating a roast or something like that. Shit, the refrigerator's full of everything his, including empty plastic bags of bread wrappers, for Christ's sake.
What?
Yeah, he eats a loaf of bread and he puts the empty plastic back in the refrigerator. Don't ask me fucking why. I haven't got a goddamn.
Oh, poor Roger. You sound like you're absolutely beside yourself.
Oh, shit. And my wife gets pissed off at it too, and then she bitches to me about her brother. Come on, bitch to your own goddamn brother. Don't bitch to me about him. Anyhow.
Is he all home? I mean, no disrespect. Is he all home?
Oh, hell, just ask him. He'll tell you he is. I mean, shit, he's even got a PhD. He even taught at American University in Washington, D.C. for 30 fucking years.
Taught what?
International relations. He's an expert in that, and somebody that knows leadership history from the entire Latin America and U.S. back to the Depression era. And there's hardly a question you can ask him about who was Secretary of State or who was the U.N. ambassador or.
Oh, well, that's where all his brain cells are concentrated.
Must be, because they sure as hell ain't in common sense. He came out here because he got laid off, fired, retired, whatever you want to call it. So he comes out here because he wants to be close to his sister. But he doesn't want to pay sales tax, so he wanted to be close to Oregon. But then he didn't want to pay state income taxes either, so he went up to Vancouver, Washington, and bought himself a goddamn house, kept all his medical appointments down here, and uses the address here in at our house to get all his shipments, because if it's shipped to an Oregon address, he doesn't have to pay sales tax, but if it's shipped to a Washington address, he'd have to pay sales tax. So he drives 2 hours to come down here and pick up his shit every couple of weeks, spends 3 or 4 days, and then goes back up to Vancouver because he thinks he's saving money by paying Washington income tax and no sales tax in Oregon. But it's a 4-hour round trip drive to get from here to Vancouver, Washington.
Which kind of obviates any savings, right?
Yeah, well, he's one of those very intelligent people that just ain't got no fucking common sense.
You know, I don't hear you talk like this very often, Roger. I can tell he's way deep under your fingernails.
Oh. You know that I drove for Mayflower for a while.
Yeah, sure.
Back in the early days. So wife went back, spent about 3 months in D.C., and then I went back for 2 months. And he's a collector. I mean, he's got all these nice glass cabinets with all kinds of knickknacks and shit in them. But he doesn't want me to pack them because they might get broken on the move out here. And he had saved every goddamn box, every little trinket ever fucking came in that house. And, oh, this trinket, I know where that box is. And he'd go downstairs, and a half hour later, he'd come back with one box for that particular item. I go, well, now what am I going to do with it? Oh, I know where that box is. And finally, I just got to the point where I said, fuck it, I'm just wrapping this shit up. If not, I'm getting on the plane and going home. He brought shit out here. A bicycle with two flat tires that he hasn't ridden in probably 20 years came on the moving van.
Might decide to start bicycling again.
A badminton set. Broken down lawn furniture. He's a fucking hoarder. That's all it is. And all the shit's still in the garage there. He got the display cabinets out. And now it seems like every goddamn day we get another box from this thing, Novika or some outfit like that, which is where he buys a lot of these trinkets. And I know goddamn good and well what he's doing is he's filling up all his display cases with new trinkets rather than unboxing the one. A two-car garage that is stuffed floor to ceiling, wall to wall, two-car garage with the shit that he hauled out here. And the last time I was up there a couple of months back, the house was already getting cluttered, and he hadn't even unpacked the fucking shit in the garage.
Oh, Lordy.
Anyhow, everybody else has got a lot more problems than I do, but it's just, he comes here, and he's got this doctor appointment and that doctor appointment and some other doctor's appointment. When he went out the door, he said, well, I'm going to stop by Safeway, see if they've got my prescription ready. If they don't, I guess I'm going to have to come back and spend another night and then, you know, go check tomorrow. Well, why doesn't he get the goddamn drugs in Vancouver, which is where he fucking lives?
And I guess that's just not a question worth asking, is it?
No.
No. Look, not, Roger, not laughing at, laughing with.
No. Well, I'm tempted to go into the house and ask the wife if she wants to go out for a celebratory dinner tonight.
Why not? She gets frustrated too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got one last wacky zany story in this week of wackiness and zaniness. We've probably tried really hard to forget this woman's name. She's a blonde televangelist, wears a lot of black leather, has a kind of a BDSM vibe about her. Her name is Paula White Kane, and she was referred to as the spiritual advisor to Geezer Disgustus. Well, Paula White Kane, work with me here. Those of us of a certain age remember the heyday of corporate rock and, you know, REO Sticks Journey Wagon. And Journey in particular. You know, Journey was a fantastically talented band. Steve Perry has long since gone from the band. I think he lost his voice, and then he got kind of taken down forever. What's the comedian's name? Who told the story about it? Well, never mind. And the punchline was, well, I've stopped believing. But Journey is still a going concern of sorts, and Journey has a bank account. And Paula White Kane is married to Journey keyboardist Jonathan Kane. And Neil Schon, the guitar player, a brilliant guitar player, you know, came out of the San Francisco scene, played with Santana for a while, you know, has chops. Well, he's now accusing Paula White Kane of ripping off the Journey bank account. He sent a cease and through a lawyer, sent a cease and desist letter to Paula White Kane, telling her to remove herself from the band's bank accounts by December 27th. And, well, what they found is Paula White Cain's signature has been identified on financial documents related to Journey since 2020. Apparently, the allegation is that she's been robbing them blind. Of course, she's a Christian, so that's not at all surprising, and a televangelist, even less surprising. But I guess they're not going to put the band back together because Neil Schon served Jonathan Cain another cease and desist letter because he went down to MAGA Loco and performed Don't Stop Believin'. That was a party where Carrie Lake and Marginal Trailer Queen were in attendance. The grift never ends with these people. And they've actually got, I was wrong, the band is not breaking up. They've got an upcoming North American tour that starts later this month. Of course, Don't Stop Believin' has always, ever since I heard this, and this is back when the song came out in 1981, I happened to be going to college with a guy, a great guy, fabulous guitarist, and Don't Stop Believin' drove him absolutely bananas, because he came from a place called Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan. His parents were Scottish immigrants, and he was just a lot of fun to be around. Great, just like a. Whenever I thought of the Pink Floyd song, several species of small furry animals grooving in a cave with a Pict, I always thought of my buddy as the Pict. But when that song came out, that line, just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit, he would lose his shit every time he heard that lyric and scream, "God damn it, South Detroit is Windsor, Ontario, Canada. There is no South Detroit." And so I heard his voice in my head when I saw this story about Trump's spiritual advisor ripping off the rest of the band in the Journey's bank account. So, yeah, it's dumb, but it's funny in its own way. Something that's not funny as we head out the door. 2024 was going to be difficult enough in the Senate. Now it's more difficult. Because the senior senator from Michigan, Debbie Stabenow, I've actually met her, nice lady, has decided she does not wish to run for re-election in 2024. And so it's being, Politico is describing it, setting off a mad scramble for a newly opened battleground seat in 2024. Representatives Alyssa Slotkin and Debbie Dingell are both thinking about running. A couple other House members may think about it. I presume Gretchen Whitmer won't, because she'll be halfway through her second term as governor. But Debbie Dingell said, "I'm stunned. She told me months ago she was running. I can't imagine our delegation without her, but today is the day we celebrate her, and then we figure it out." And that's just the first Democratic retirement ahead of 2024. Please God. With the possible exception of Kyrsten Sinema, who isn't a Democrat anymore, let that be the end of it. Because the 24 seats to defend, and the Republicans only have to do 10, that's going to be ugly. Sorry, I just wanted to get those two stories in there. Anybody else got anything before maybe we head out?
Not really. I'm just curious. You think Kevo is going to get in tonight or not?
I kept hearing something earlier in the day that they were waiting. There were a couple of people absent today, and they were waiting for them and hoping their flights would be in by 10 o'clock, and that's why they did the 10 p.m. adjournment.
Remember you used to wear a coat with purple stars and
oh, y'all.
wasn't.
Oh, you mean my tattered purple robe?
Yes.
With the frayed appliqued moon and stars and my.
I'd like to hear the Oracle Robin's take on this. You know.
They don't want to work Saturday, so if anybody's going to flip, they're going to flip. If any Republican's going to flip, they're going to flip tonight, so that they can head on down to the Union Pub and get shit-faced.
That's why I think they already started on Matt Forehead at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, he'll be drinking tequila shots out of Anna Hoppe and Nagila's belly button and snorting lines of blow off. Never mind what he's going to snort the blow off.
Robin from what's her name, Bobart? She's in on this too, man.
But it
doesn't really
matter. Yeah, you got to remember Bobblehead Boobert's former career. She can be bought with a quarter left on the nightstand.
Right. She had a bar named Shooters where you were encouraged to pack heat.
Right.
Wasn't that her? Yeah.
And, you know, as a small business owner, honey, you don't own a small business anymore.
Right. Well,
yeah, Shooters, you know, Shooters was Shooters because it was meant to rhyme with Hooters, Steve.
Goddamn, why didn't I think of that? You're spot on.
It was girls in tight tops with cleavage showing, and guns on their hip.
The guns was supposed to sex it up. You're exactly right. That's why you wear that purple robe, man.
Well, you know,
I
try to do right by it. You know, I've got my magic eight ball, and the screen is cracked, and it always says answer hazy, ask again later. But every now and then we can get a good guess out of it.
So you're saying Kevo is going to get in tonight. That's what my gut is telling me.
Yeah, I think he probably does. And then it'll be midnight, and they'll pop champagne, and people, and then I don't know. They may bring their guns with them and shoot them in the air. You know, shoot up the roof of the house. And anything's possible with this bunch.
Pew 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 pew.
Pew 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 pew.
And Nancy's going to have to hand the gavel over. I don't think I want to watch that.
Pulp Fiction. You've probably heard me pissing and moaning for a couple of days. This is going to be a little rough to get used to, but I am leading the life sanitary, so I won't even have so much as a stack of Pringles to assuage my grief. And I'm, you know, total Little Miss Sober Girl and no carbs. And, you know, maybe I'll sell them. Hey, you know what? I got to tell you. Okay, this is not food porn. This is just really low rent. Just my life.
Trailer food.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. This is trailer park cuisine. Up the, not even trailer, but this is just up the holler cuisine. But I found I did something today that made me very happy for breakfast. You know, can't have no biscuits, can't have no toast, can't have no sourdough muffin.
Good God.
No, I'm going hardcore. I'm going to try to make this work. I'm hell-bent on not being diabetic, so... yeah, well, that's why I didn't say trailer. I said up the holler. Are you kidding? A double wide? That's living the dream for me, and I'm not kidding. Put a double wide on this property and let the kids stay in this house, and me and Annette go over into the double. Oh, that's happiness. But no, this is truly up the holler cuisine, Steve. So I got up this morning, grabbed me a bowl, got my spoon, scooped out about a half a cup of cottage cheese, and saw something in the shelf and thought, well, hell, that looks like hillbilly heaven. It was an unopened bottle jar of Hidden Valley Ranch dressing mix.
And
I opened that brand new, pulled the seal off, screwed the lid back on and just shook me a bunch of ranch mix on top of that cottage cheese and gave it a stir and let it sit for a minute or two. Oh, it was good. You know, because here in the hills, we consider ranch to be an entirely separate food group. So I had ranch cottage cheese. Yum, yum.
Well, Robin, what was it that got you so rattled? Was it your A1C or your BSO fasting level? You
know, no, it was my A1C. It was my A1C. I had a doctor's appointment earlier this week, and the nurse came in and said, "Give me your finger." And I was like, "What? Okay." And, you know, and she does the punch, and she said, "We're testing your A1C." I'm like, "Okay." And it came back, and the doc came in with a grim look on his face and said, "Oh, we got to do something about this. This is not good. This is definitely not good."
Well, isn't A1C is where they look back for like 90 days?
Yeah, it's a 90-day look back.
And it wasn't good.
It was bad.
Okay. Well, you heard my tale. Well, you can turn it around.
Well, I was inspired by that, Steve, and I hope I can. So I'm going to start. I'm going to get it. I'm trying to work up a exercise routine and get out and walk and go over to the gym. And, you know, today, let's see, today was cottage cheese, bowl of soup, a green salad with oil and vinegar. It seems like there was something else in there. No, I don't think so. And I've been kind of pretty, fuck, this sucks. I've been hungry all day long. And I bought a brand new blood glucometer yesterday, and I really wish I hadn't. Because I got up this morning, and, you know, because I've been testing it throughout the day, because got it.
Right. But you know about the sunrise effect.
Yeah, sunrise effect kicked me in the ass.
So don't be too hard on yourself. Everybody does.
It was Steve, it was 2:40 this morning.
God damn.
And then it went up to 2:55 without eating anything. And then by the time I was a little bit late to air because I was wolfing down a bowl of soup because I was going wild for something to eat. And it finally had dropped to 167. To 167.
Call me. I got a few hacks. I know everybody doesn't want to hear about this. We'll talk.
Well, I mean, this is just my life. Yeah. You know, one of the things that my hormone therapy has done is it tends to make you more insulin resistant.
That must hold true with estrogen and testosterone, because testosterone is what shot mine through the roof.
Well, it may. All I know about is the estrogen side of things, but you know, I've gone up and come back down before. So,
and prednisone, any of that? You know?
Yeah, it's a hormonal phenomenon. But I'm also lucky because Miss Terry deals with it, and she's kind of been holding my hand through it. It's okay. You'll get used to it. And then she said to me the other day, "Welcome to my world, where food is the enemy."
Much as you love to eat, too.
It's going to be... it's been driving me crazy because the kids, Ferg, fired up the oven and made a batch of those, God damn it, Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Oh, no. Oh, they're the best, man.
Yeah, they are. And I have sworn a blood oath not to touch one. I'll go check my post-show blood sugar, and I don't know, maybe I can have a stalk of celery or something.
No peanut butter. No peanut. You could probably get away with peanut butter on the celery, but not now.
No. Cream cheese.
Cream cheese, yeah. But if you get to be overwhelmed, call me, man.
All right, I will. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate you. Sure. I appreciate you caring like you do. All right, y'all. I'm going to get out of here. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa came up with a hack where maybe I don't get shot down by Podbean. I hope that's the case. And I was going to ask, have y'all noticed any quality issues with the stream? I mean, is the audio quality still okay?
I can't give you an honest answer because I always listen to you live and in color.
Well, no, that's what I'm talking about. Is this audio quality okay?
Yeah. From what I'm hearing on Skype, it's fine.
Okay, perfect.
I'm only on Skype since the call started. Before I got onto Skype, it was good for the first hour.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you so much, guys. Listen, thanks, everybody. Thanks for the help we got this evening. We will... I can't play it this evening, Billable. Remind me at the beginning of the week. That's perfect for Moran Monday and or prayer meeting Wednesday. But thanks for the help. We will finish up the program unfunded by $28 for yesterday, which is a far cry from some of the holes we've been in, and unfunded for today. But that's still okay. Anybody wants to help out over the weekend, we can use the help. God, we need new subscribers at Patreon and PayPal, or a la carte's fine too. Thank you all so, so much. Oh, somebody's bragging about their A1C. Okay, rub it in. But I can get there. And just because I get down there doesn't mean that I can start eating ice cream by the vat or anything like that, or, you know, live on... Well, I have a saltine and Ritz cracker problem. But thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much, Squeaky, today. I really appreciate it. Thank you to Kevin and Tracy, and thank you to Ralphs. Thank you so much. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Roger and Sparky and Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy, which is on its way at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, is at HeadOn.live, because no commercials. And Brother Deacon Asa asks, and I ask on Brother Deacon Asa's behalf, pretty please, like and subscribe and leave a comment and tell your friends and neighbors about this unique and wonderful little radio community. It's so great to have everyone who is a part of this. Because this is unlike anything that's going on out there in the commercial world, or even the public radio world. This program is, to get all Latinate about things, sui generis. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. And it was great to hear from you this evening, Parson Brown. Thank you for jumping into the conversation. Please stay safe. Saw an article today that said in the coming year, 80% of us will have been infected with the latest variant. Try not to get infected. Try to be part of the 20%, not the 80. Wear your freaking mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear gloves. Do whatever you have to not to get this. Because families care about each other that way. And this is a broadcast community that is, in fact, a family. Chosen. Keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes down along a street toward you, about four foot nothing, talking about how, I think they ought to take them magnetometers and fill them with tannerite and just blow them to hell. Avoid that little Colorado maggot like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.